puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's time now for Abandoned Manitoba, where we say hello once again to Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Keisha.
What are we discussing this week?
We visited several towns in this Abandoned Manitoba series that we could describe as ghosts. This week, we're going to discuss a lake that is a phantom. We're talking about the recreational facility near Flin Flon, known as Phantom Lake.
So is the lake, in fact, abandoned?
No, it's still there. But according to my friend James Kostichuk, who visited Phantom Lake this summer and brought the story to my attention, the lake, like Flin Flon itself, is no longer the popular place it once was. And to address the reasons why, we need to look back at the history of Flin Flon.
Okay, so let's go back in time a little bit. Tell me first, when was Flin Flon founded?
The origins of the town date to 1914. That's when a trapper discovered significant deposits of copper, gold, silver, and zinc near the present-day site of Flin Flon. Processing of the ore body required intense heat to melt the metal, so it took several years to develop the facilities that were needed for a mine, and that included a hydroelectric generating station in Saskatchewan to provide electricity to run the smelter and machinery, and a railway line from the Paw to transport the products of the mine to market. The development of the mine began in 1927 with the incorporation of a company called Hudson Bay Mining and Smelting, known today as Hud Bay Minerals. And active mining began in the early days of the Great Depression in July of 1930.
Now, did the depression affect operation of the mine?
It appears not to have. And in fact, it might have even been an economic driver, because by 1935, the Flin Flon mine was the third largest producer of copper in the whole world. You know, it had a workforce of over 1,500 people working 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. With all this mining, well, it's understandable the town of Flin Flon thrived. You know, it had restaurants, theaters, tailor shops, billiards halls, lumber yards, and more. You know, it had doctors, dentists, lawyers, pharmacists, tailors, accountants, photographers. There was a weekly newspaper, the Flin Flon Miner. And Hudson Bay Mining and Smelting took its corporate citizenship seriously. You know, it helped to fund such public amenities as a hospital and an indoor curling and skating rink.
That all sounds fantastic. So where does Phantom Lake come into the story?
Very early. In 1932, just 2 years after the mine began operating, two entrepreneurs formed a partnership to develop a summer recreational resort south of town. It was located at the north end of Phantom Lake, just over the border into Saskatchewan. They put up change houses for swimmers. There was a dance pavilion, an outdoor bandstand, and swimming and diving docks that extended way out into the lake. By 1935, operation of the facility had been taken over by the Flin Flon Board of Trade and the Flin Flon Retail Merchants Association. One of the changes they made was they trucked in vast loads of sand to make a man-made beach along the shoreline of the lake. It was normally sort of rocky. They made it sandy. By 1943, Hudson Bay Mining and Smelting had taken over operation, and it spent a lot of money too, building a footpath from the town to the beach. They built tennis courts, they renovated the buildings, they upgraded the swimming dock in the lake, and they installed all sorts of formal flower gardens, paths, parking lots, picnic grounds. Well, a 9-hole golf course at Phantom Lake opened in 1951, and if you look at postcards of the place from the 1950s, they show it packed with people, swimming, relaxing on the beach, playing games, all sorts of things. Really popular place.
I mean, you are painting an amazing picture. It just seems so picturesque and amazing. But what happened, Gordon?
Well, of course, inevitably, this series is Abandoned Manitoba. And by the late 1950s, Flin Flon had reached its maximum population of just over 10,000 people. It has been in consistent decline since the early 1960s. The original mine, the one that started it all, closed in 1992. The company did, however, discover another substantial ore body that it began mining in 2004. And that kept the fortunes of Flin Flon going. However, with improvements of technology, the workforce that were needed to operate the mine diminished. And in 2016, Flin Flon's population dropped below 5,000 people. That was its lowest number since its founding back in 1927.
Wow. What's the situation like today?
Well, Flin Flon has about 4,900 people, and unfortunately, that number is likely to continue decreasing. The mine that opened in 2004 that saved the town closed back in June of this year, and the company is moving most of its operations to another mine at Snow Lake. What this means for the future of Flin Flon is unclear, but the experience at other one-industry towns suggests it won't be good. The company's president and CEO described the mine closure as, and this is a quote, the end of a mining era in Flin Flon. You know, Hudbay Minerals now focuses its activities outside Canada, in the United States, and in South America. The company's influence on the lives of Flin Flon residents is waning. And a tangible example of that is that it no longer plays a role in maintaining Phantom Lake. And it shows.
Oh, man, I'm almost afraid to ask. What is the present state of Phantom Lake, Gordon?
Well, my friend James visited Phantom Lake earlier this year, and he says that it was deserted. The beach that was once covered in fine sand is now being reclaimed by vegetation. A dock still does extend into the lake, but it's a much more modest one compared to the large swimming and diving dock that was once there. The bandstand, well, it's been demolished. The tennis court is overgrown. Elaborate flower gardens have reverted to grass and shrubs. A stage where ceremonies were held is gradually disappearing into the forest. Swings and a merry-go-round that were once popular with children have been removed. Sad-looking poles no longer bear flags. And what remaining buildings there are, such as one that has a sign on the outside, dressing room for bathers, well, it appears unused. It's got trees growing under the foundation, and the paint all over it is peeling. You know, the decline is really quite sad, and all the more so because there is such ample documentation of what used to be there.
What do you mean?
Well, several years ago, a group of former Flin Flon residents who are now distributed all over North America and literally the rest of the world started what they called the Flin Flon Heritage Project. They worried that as the town declines, precious historical documents such as photographs, municipal records, will be damaged or destroyed. You know, they do hold periodic reunion lunches, for example. And in fact, there's one coming up this Friday at the Viscount Gort here in Winnipeg. But I think more importantly, they host a website that has literally thousands of files about Flin Flon that will survive, I hope, as a reminder of what may become Manitoba's newest ghost town and, well, nearby, Phantom Lake.
Wow. Well, can you give us a clue about next week's episode?
Well, you know, when I'm out driving in Manitoba, I often see things along the road that give me ideas for future episodes of Abandoned Manitoba. So back in August, I passed an abandoned site at the junction of Highway 16 and 50 that has always intrigued me. Its story will be our focus next week.
Looking forward to it, Gordon.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.